Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You know what? Texter, good job. 8780. My tease was early position controversy for the Texans. Somebody the Texan fans may want to start for this team sooner rather than later. I don't know that this was a tough guess, but Texter, I'll give you credit here. I hope the conversation is, quote, when is Kalen Bullock going to get more snaps? Ward looked bad last Sunday. Yes, that is a conversation we're about to have. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on rookie safety Kalen Bullock.
Yeah, it's exciting when the rookies step up and make a play in his first game. Not many rookie safeties have done that, get an interception in their debut game, and Kalen can add his name to the list. And it wasn't surprising to me, right? And that's why we want to get him on the field, because he has such a great knack for finding the football and actually coming down with it and making game-changing plays. So we want our playmakers on the field, and Kalen deserves to be out there.
Now, we should point out, he was on the field for 55% of the snaps. So it's not as though Kalen Bullock played 8 snaps and got that pick.
Wasn't
and
you're spot like, duty.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't spot duty. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but the question is, you know, it's Jimmy Ward, so it's one game, so we'll see where it goes. But it was not a great Sunday for Jimmy Ward. And Kalen Bullock, to D'Amico's point, and D'Amico mentions this every time he talks about Kalen Bullock, he has been doing this since he put pads on at training camp.
Right,
Kalen
right.
Bullock has been making plays since training camp started.
I think, and he plays a position where the Texans already had players that they feel good about who are veteran players, where at cornerback, Kamari Lassiter wasn't really competing with a bona fide starter. You know, Jeff Okuda, who went on IR the other day, C.J. Henderson, they are what they are. And I think that Kamari Lassiter, they feel very good about him, and they trusted him from the beginning, but I think he was also in a different competition.
Yeah.
With Kalen Bullock, I think they could treat him more like a traditional rookie, where they feel really good about him, but they want to limit his exposure and see exactly how much they can trust him. He played well. Like, he played consistently. It wasn't like he made that interception, but had issues all over the place elsewhere. So I would imagine that they're going to continue to rotate him in, whether he's starting or not, and be pretty heavily used because of that playmaking ability. The thing about Jimmy Ward is, I almost would have felt better about that game if he had made, like, mistakes on those plays. But that big reception to Alec Pierce later in the game, that was just him. That was Alec Pierce running away from Jimmy Ward.
That looked like a physical issue.
That looked like Jimmy Ward just could not keep up with him. If he had anticipated a little better and intercepted the route earlier, maybe it would have been all right. But it was an underthrown football. Mm-hmm. Was it underthrown? I mean, I feel like by Anthony Richardson standards, it was an underthrow. Because it very easily could have been a touchdown if it was thrown, if it had led to Alec Pierce a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that Jimmy Ward might just be in physical decline. And that was week 1 of the regular season.
Yeah, Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie both played 100% of the snaps on Sunday against the Colts. There's your answer. They were in dime 55% of the time because Kalen Bullock is out there as an extra safety. So yeah, Jimmy Ward and Jalen.
But Jalen Petrie's not playing safety. But yeah,
that's true. That's true. Yeah, he's playing nickel corner. Yeah,
it's Eric.
Eric Murray. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So But the 5 guys who played 100% of the snaps for the Texans on Sunday, Azeez Alshire, Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie, Kamari Lassiter, and Derek Stingley Jr. None of those guys came off the field.
Yeah, and I've seen some people wondering about Alshire, and I think there's some differing opinions. This is where I go with Alshire, is that when you're facing Anthony Richardson and the RPO is such a big deal, it really kind of it limits exactly what linebackers can and cannot do. And Al Shaier, especially, I think, is the guy that was trying to be as conservative as possible and not bite on play action. I think there were times where defensively they gave Henry Toa the green light to be the aggressive player and Al Shaier to be the more conservative one. I think he did what he was supposed to do in that game. So it wasn't like a highlight reel day for Al Shaier or anything. And he was good in the pass game at times. I think there were a couple plays that he could have done better. But I felt like given the challenges of facing Anthony Richardson, the defense did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And they ended up limiting Jonathan Taylor to a really, really mediocre day. And Anthony Richardson got his runs in, but they weren't backbreaking runs. So I'm totally cool with him for now.
Yep. That's very a text message. That's very concerning what you guys just said about Ward, considering they gave Ward an extension in the offseason. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely fair. A text message, probably should have brought in Justin Simmons. I'm not there yet on the safety position.
I think the thing with Justin Simmons is that they already had a guy, a veteran on the roster in Jimmy Ward, and Justin Simmons is old. So at some point, you know, there's a very good chance he declines over the next couple of years. I think when you ask why didn't they bring in Justin Simmons, I think the specific answer is they like Kalen Bullock. And that when it comes to drafting younger guys and getting younger as a defense and eventually those guys starting, I think they really like Kalen Bullock. And that probably I would be surprised if they weren't discussing Justin Simmons in the offseason.
Sure.
I think they probably had his name on a whiteboard somewhere.
Yep.
But it was as they were watching Kalen Bullock and trying to figure out, all right, is this a guy that we think we might be able to trust in his rookie year? And I think they felt good about Kalen Bullock.
Kalen Bullock, I was thinking about this, like, oh, you know, you got a rookie quarterback on the other side, Caleb Williams, who, you know, especially in an environment like we expect on Sunday, may get a little jittery and throw one up. And Kalen Bullock's a guy who can go get it. He was also Caleb Williams' teammate at USC. Do you think that the defensive staff is pumping Kalen Bullock for anything on Caleb Williams?
Maybe some of the little tells and everything.
That's what I mean.
Always,
yeah.
Teams always want to be careful about, you know, acting like the player is going to be the professor of exactly what. But they'll ask him, you know, do you have any tips or tells or how he likes to operate or anything like that. And yeah, the conversations with the defensive backs themselves, they're probably leaning on Kalen Bullock a lot. You never know exactly like what a guy is in terms of, you know, how much you know that quarterback that you went against, and B, just you know, like, is it stuff that transfers over to the scheme they're in right now?
Yeah.
The one thing I was surprised about in the way that they handled the Caleb Williams, boy, saying Caleb and Kalen in the same conversation is going to be tough for me.
The segment will be over soon, Seth. Hold on,
let me get my bell. They didn't help him out with play action hardly at all when he was in the gun. They let him sit back there and act like he was going to dissect defenses with a bad interior offensive line in front of him without really having much of an RPO game whatsoever. I mean, there was no threat of the run on a lot of those passes out of gun. And I was really, I don't want to say I was aghast, but Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, I don't think he really had it in his brain that he had to help this rookie quarterback out a lot, which is a nice sign for the Texans in week two, if that's what Shane Waldron thinks of Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
It would have been unfair to put C.J. Stroud in that same situation.
Agreed.
In week one last year.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Agreed. I don't know if you saw this. The odds have shifted after 1 week on the first head coach to be fired. You and I do our death pool every year, our head coach death pool.
I know this because you took a big hit on your number one overall
choice. I did. Yeah. My number one overall was Todd Bowles, and Tampa Bay looked really good.
the team that has the best quarterback in the league.
In the league right now, yeah. So, but your number one overall pick was Nick Sirianni. He's kind of far down there, too.
Ah, damn it.
But we both...
You know what? That's right. I forgot I had texted you about that after the first quarter when the Eagles didn't even get across the 50-yard line until the waning seconds of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I was pretty confident in my choice at that point.
It's interesting because... So, Seth and I, for those who missed it last week, we each pick four head coaches with the goal being... for one of us to get the one that gets fired first. You have, as of the odds board right now, you can find odds on the first head coach to be fired. Two of the top three. Are you playing the Game of Thrones theme? Ben, you're a gem. I love this. Two of the top three are in your group, Seth. You got Brian Daboll. Mm-hmm. Daboll's the new favorite. And that was a great pick by you. I think Daboll should be the favorite right now. He's a favorite at 3-1, and Robert Saleh is third on the board at 9-1. Those look like two. And I have Dennis Allen, who's in between. Ironically, Dennis Allen in between won 47-10. It feels like the odds makers have some like pictures of Dennis Allen or something like that.
I think the thing about. Two of those guys, I could excuse, even though it wouldn't be the right thing to fire Brian Daboll or Kevin Stefanski and to blame them for their quarterbacks. I think it's one of those situations where, look, we've paid the quarterback already, and we don't think that you're probably the issue, but we got to find out if somebody else can do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
And even if Joe Shane himself might be thinking, like, all right, it's my fault that your quarterback is Daniel Jones. But I got to see if somebody else can work some magic with him and have the Daniel Jones touch.
Yeah.
So we just got to fire you. Kevin Stefanski, same thing. We're not blaming you for Deshaun Watson being a weirdo. And yet, maybe we need somebody who's a weirdo specialist to be in here today.
Yeah, weirdo specialist. Well, the funny
thing
is...
Who would that be? Bring in Lane Kiffin.
Yes. I think Stefanski might be a better coach than Daboll. Jones's contract is easier to get out of than Deshaun's. Like, Deshaun's
That's
contract,
true.
You know what I mean? Like, if they really like Daboll in New York, they can eject from Jones and keep Daboll. If they feel like they got to get a pound of flesh in Cleveland from somebody, unless this legal stuff that Deshaun's involved in negates a big chunk of his guaranteed money, then it's going to be Stefanski, not Deshaun.
If it doesn't work out, you'd be going into a reset with the Browns next year. So if Deshaun Watson doesn't turn it around, the Browns can't get it together, you'd be going into a reset next year where you're taking a huge hit on Deshaun Watson that you're going to have to somehow try to figure out a way to spread it out over multiple years. Yeah. Then do you keep the same coach in place or do you go to a bridge coach? And I think that's where, Kevin Stefanski should probably be the favorite right now. Dennis Allen... I think Dennis Allen and Robert Saleh, if you're looking at it objectively, those guys have systemic issues on their team that have nothing to do with the coach. And it's not fair to blame them. And it also doesn't seem like it would be any kind of a quick fix to bring in, to have an interim coach or anything in that regard.
Yep. Daboll's top of the list. I have him, or Seth has him. Dennis Allen second. I have Dennis Allen. Robert Saleh third. Seth Payne selection, and then I have Stefanski, who's fourth. So our draft's pretty good as far as kind of reading the room there.
I'm pretty far down on the board with Sean McDermott and Nick Sirianni. Yeah. I think just give it some time in Buffalo there.
Yeah,
I don't think Josh Allen can play hero ball for 17 weeks in a row.
With you on that. All right, we found it's been a while since HOA Florio has shown up on our radar. Mike Florio has a new co-celebra. He is going after one of the hallowed favorite sons of the sport of football.
Ooh.
Yeah, you'll hear it coming up. We'll share it with you coming up next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.